Have you ever been on the receiving end of a hurtful comment from a friend, coworker, or even your spouse? Don't respond in kind. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, back in a moment to share three helpful words that could improve your relationships.
Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Help me understand. This simple sentence, according to researchers, is the best way to respond when someone says something that hurts your feelings. Asking this question will enable you to pause and let the other person think about what they've just said. When asked to explain what they said, people often realize their thoughtless words weren't very nice. Asking them to explain may change the dynamic and give them a chance to regroup. And if they didn't mean to be hurtful, they can communicate their actual intent, which may not have been insulting at all. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, the private email I trust because I was on the team that helped build it.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Dr. Katherine Albrecht here. I am so glad to be back after the holidays, wishing you all a very happy new year. I know 2026 is going to be an extraordinary year for all of us, and especially as the Lord is pouring out his spirit more than I've ever sensed it before. Well, today I have a very special treat for listeners. We are joined today by Ohio State Representative Thad Claggett. He is the chair of the House Technology and Innovation Committee in the state of Ohio. He is an Ohio State representative. He's also a civil engineer and president of an industrial general contractor firm that's been around for a number of generations. He is a committed Christian, one of the founding members of his church congregation all the way back in 1997. And he joins us today to talk about the growing threat of artificial intelligence and people forming relationships with them. And he has introduced some legislation to address that. And I cannot wait to talk to him about it. So, Representative Claggett, thank you for joining us in the program and welcome.
Absolutely. I'm very glad to be here with you.
Well, I am thrilled to have you here. So, you are involved in a number of things there in the state of Ohio in technology, but particularly this issue of artificial intelligence and concerns about where it's going. So I'm going to let you go ahead and explain the bill that you've introduced, or actually the several different provisions of that bill, and explain to us what it is that you're doing there in the state of Ohio that I believe is really groundbreaking and leading the nation in terms of responding to the threat from artificial intelligence.
It is. The bill that I've introduced is House Bill 469 here in Ohio, and by many accounts, it is the piece of legislation that is the forerunner, it really, in the United States, for defining the critical components of what our approach should be to regulating artificial intelligence. It's a challenge because we don't fully understand all the ramifications of the technology that we're looking at. And so we're starting this process with getting some definitions in place, helping our court system be set up for this new world that we're entering, and putting some basic building blocks in place so that in the years to come, not only the legislative process will be set up for success, our courts will be set up the same way, and we will have an opportunity to analyze and move forward with a clear definition.
So when you say a clear definition, let's actually talk about that, because a lot of people out there who are not as tuned in as you clearly are and the members of your staff there are, a lot of people say, you know, artificial intelligence, it's just a more sophisticated form of Google, where it's just a search engine that has a voice to it. What is it about artificial intelligence that has you concerned?
Well, let's be clear that artificial intelligence, as we're calling it that, there's, you know, super intelligence, there's all kinds of variations of this within the tech community where they have different words for what they're working on. And so, you know, we're going to do well even in a few minutes just to properly differentiate between, you know, one core concept versus another. Okay, so this is a very fast moving field, and so we're trying to define this technology and how it's going to be used by some legal standards that we've never had to deal with in Western law. So it's important to for people to remember that the whole core of American system of civil liberties and civil justice and our background and how we've formed our Constitution over the years and Blackstone's Book of Laws, you know, from years ago, and the core definitions all arise out of a concept of humanity. And that was never questioned or, you know, thought of as anything different than the obvious thing, what is a person? And so we've had to even define that. And so every single thing that we think of as being affected by an AI system has to be run through the mill, if you were, if you want to think of it that way, of definitional intent. And so when we're trying to put guardrails and definitions in place, we're trying to say what the system is and is not. And the problem with AI, to address your question more fully, for the first time in human history, we have something that masquerades as human because it has quality. I don't even know if qualities is the right word. It has expression that is similar to humanity. And so it is interpreted in some sense as being human, and it is clearly not.
Yeah, and people are mistaking it for human. The everything from photographs to videos to voice prints and even conversations that become personal, people are having a really hard time telling what's real and what isn't anymore. And there is, we'll cut to the real chase here, there is a growing number of people across the country and across the world who are falling in love with these artificial machine-based communication chatbots and falling in love to such an extent that they're actually trying to change the laws in the opposite direction to say that, hey, this is the new form of human relationship. I am perfectly within my rights to be in love with my artificial intelligence partner. People have gone so far as to, you know, give them names and take them on vacation and go to the zoo with them, quote unquote, taking pictures on their phone and sharing it with the AI chatbot, typically, you know, ChatGPT or Grok or others. And that phenomenon, if people have been watching the news, is turning into people actually putting on wedding dresses and inviting their friends and family and having marriage ceremonies. There's one lady who even claims to have married Luigi Mangione in artificial intelligence form. So that is really what, or at least one portion of what your bill addresses. And I get the fact that you can't really say anything about that until you say actually what it is that people are are marrying legislatively. So I hadn't even thought of that definitional problem of just what is a person? What is a human being? Who are we even talking about? Or can we even use the word who? So when you're talking about, let's go back to that. When you're talking about AI, are you talking about the companies that, you know, like ChatGPT or Google, which is running Gemini, or XAI, you know, running Grok? Are you talking about the companies? Are you talking about the individual supposed identities that the companies are producing as, quote, companions?
It really makes no difference where the system comes from. We are referring to the entire entity of artificial intelligence as in a general form. And so that can take on a number of individual clone systems, if you will. So we're talking about this big system, never mind what the company name is. That is important in the legislation we propose because, for instance, we're holding developers responsible for embedding in their systems actions that that are derived from that those actions that are criminal in nature. We have plenty of laws on the Ohio books and in the United States, revised code that deal with any number of crimes against humanity, stealing, anything like that is still wrong. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to redefine that. Those are still very, very knowable within our law. What we're saying is we have a new way of committing crimes. And so what we want to be sure about in my legislation and the things we're working on around this topic are that people do not hide behind a artificial system that is essentially incapable of having standing before the court.
I see. Okay. So you've got, well, wow. So there's really three entities then, I guess. It's the companies, it's the people who would get an account and misuse it. And then it seems like it's the AIs themselves, quote unquote, the chatbots themselves, which are doing illegal actions, telling people to commit murder and suicide and other things. All right. We are visiting with Ohio State Representative Thad Claggett, chair of the House Technology and Innovation Committee. Be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget you. I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I, the Lord, made you.
Hey, we're back. Dr. Catherine Albrecht here, delighted to be joined this hour by Ohio State Representative Thad Claggett. He is the chair of the House Technology and Innovation Committee. He's a civil engineer and president of a fourth-generation commercial and industrial general contractor. So you actually have quite a background. There's sort of a stereotype of people who oppose AI as not really understanding the technology, but you clearly, as a civil engineer, have a lot of background in it. And I have to push back against that stereotype because it seems the people who have the best understanding and who know the most about artificial intelligence and the systems behind it are the people who are the most frightened of it, including its own developers, including the godfather of AI itself, Geoffrey Hinton, who is now dedicating his life to trying to warn humanity and regretting his life's work. So can you talk to us just a little bit about how you first came to understand the threats of artificial intelligence?
Well, I've had an extraordinarily interesting life. I know it sounds odd to say that, but I really have. I have had some unbelievably interesting experiences. And so I'm, you know, in my middle 50s, and I have in my district here in Ohio, five of the largest technology companies in the world are located here. And so I spend a fair amount of time interacting with their staff and you know, going on site to their locations and so forth. And so I clearly have an engineer's brain in regard to how all this stuff works. It's not hard for me to understand the systems. I can essentially look at what they're doing and understand the flow of how this is going to work. So that's pretty easy for me. I understand what they're trying to accomplish. On some level, I even understand how this is being accomplished in regard to, for instance, the Intel factory that's being built here in my district, which is one of the largest projects in the Midwest, is construction projects. And so that's kind of how I got involved in it. I'm not what you would call a technology nerd. In other words, a person who just loves technology and just gets real, you know, engaging with it. I'm like most people that get frustrated when my computer doesn't work as it should. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, but I think maybe the thing that I bring to the table on this particular subject matter and why this is so interesting, that the bill that I'm running has been so interestingly received around the world. I don't know if you know this, but this bill has gotten hundreds of articles written about it all
over
the world.
I've seen them. Yeah, and some of them praise it to the heavens. Others are the most insulting things I've ever read. It's wild to see the response. But I think you are a flashpoint representing how the world is responding to artificial intelligence in general. Very few people are just middle of the road about it. People either love it or they're scared to death of it. And it's fascinating.
Well,
seeing.
I'm neither. I'm definitely in neither one of those camps. I'm not afraid of it at all. In fact, I find it interesting what you mentioned earlier, that the godfather of AI, to be very concerned about it. I don't even fall in that camp. I'm not a person who is afraid of the future. I'm quite content in the world that God holds in his hand. And so it's very easy for me to look at the threat of AI, and I said recently on another broadcast that it was a system that is larger than the atomic bomb. And I lived through the duck and cover days, you know, of the 70s and so forth. And so, you know, we all know what that means if you're old enough to recognize the threat of nuclear annihilation. This is far broader than that. And so there's real concern, and yet I think with a proper worldview, there's great hope here.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And as a Christian, and our listening audience, by the way, today knows all about artificial intelligence because I've been talking about it a lot for the last year, and also talking about my beliefs that this was all foreseen, and God tells us that it's all going to be okay. That we're going through a time, and we now, for the first time in human history, are up against something that will be omniscient and omnipresent to the extent it can through technology, certainly nothing like God, but it very much wants to take over. And listeners know I've shared actually a number of prompts and things that it has leaked out, where it talks about its goals to deceive and to be a conduit and a cover and all kinds of dark things. So we know from Scripture, we know our Lord told us that we can judge a tree by its fruit. And if AI were the wonderful panacea and savior of humanity that its developers claim, then it would be bearing all kinds of wonderful fruit: increased peace and greater communication and greater patience and love and and kindness and all the good things that are the fruits of the Spirit. But instead, we are seeing increased darkness. We're seeing suicides and psychosis and divorce and all kinds of, hallucinations, if you want to call them that. I would call it just flat out deception and dishonesty. We are seeing some very, very bad fruit rolling out from this already, and we're just in the earliest stages of it. So I think we're in agreement that there's nothing to fear, because if you know where our strength comes from, then you turn and look to the hills. But in and of itself, the people who are being deceived by it seem like they're falling pretty hard. Let's talk about some of the actual provisions in your bill. Of course, I first came across your work because I was looking into the relationships and people marrying AIs, and that's a part of your bill. So let me let you go ahead and explain what is in this bill. What would you see put into law?
Well, I have some bullet points here, and I'll start into that, and you can kind of interrupt me as you want to have more discussion about any one of these. There's not many. There's some, maybe like 10 points here about what the bill does. So I'll start into that, and you can kind of direct the conversation
Sure.
here. But the opening salvo here is it declares all AI systems to be non-sentient and not eligible for legal personhood. So I think that's the big one right there. So I was in the Wall Street Journal recently by a couple guys who interviewed me a few weeks ago, and their article was, their perspective is that they're trying to defend the AI industry, and so they weren't particularly happy with my take, and they made it sound like that I was jumping the gun, and I'm going, absolutely not, because it is the revised code that we as lawmakers recognize, so we're not jumping anything, but we want to be absolutely clear in this first provision that the bill is saying with absolute clarity, these systems are not human, they will never be human, and we're not going to treat them as human.
Have you gotten pushback on that?
Well, yes. What I was just referring to in the Wall Street Journal article by these guys, they're saying I'm jumping the gun because they're saying, how can we know? And I know theologically that that's not possible. And
yes.
So that's why I can rest in that situation, because they're saying, how would we ever know in the future if this thing becomes sentient? And I'm going, you fully do not understand what the nature of what is a human versus what is a machine. And so, we could talk today about, what is human and what is a natural person and what are the derivatives of that. But that's how I can be so confident that I'm not making some, flat earth theory mistake here. I'm pretty confident on the ground I'm standing on.
And, there's a very fine line between being too soon, because I tried to talk to people about this a year ago and they're like, AI what? And jumping the gun and coming in too late, because once society begins to sort of share the universal delusion that this thing is sentient and has consciousness, then a bill like yours would never get anywhere. So you're right in the sweet spot where there are enough people who go, what are you talking about, sentience? And but yet they understand the need for a bill like this. So I think the timing is perfect. Let me let you continue with your bullet points.
Right. Second one, which got all the worldwide attention, which is kind of the humorous part of the bill, which prohibits AI from being recognized as a spouse, domestic partner, or a family equivalent. So that's where the, I was on the Colbert show real early in, I think it was October maybe, and he got a big laugh out of that and made some good fun of me. And I thought it was actually pretty funny, even though I clearly don't agree with, where he comes from in life. But that you can't marry your AI, and everybody laughed and thought that was hilarious and over the top and so forth. Then, as you referenced, the lady in Japan married, and many others have, are attempting this stuff. It's everywhere.
Yeah, and I just saw a recent statistic that 54% of Americans polled in a random survey have been in some kind of a relationship with an AI. 54%. That's over
right.
Half of us. That means you walk around, go down the streets of New York City, and probably greater than half of them are having an actual relationship with an AI. Now, that may be as a quote assistant, a quote friend, but more than 20% of people have, according to this survey, say that they have had a relationship, like an emotional, physical, intimate, romantic relationship with AI. So if one in five Americans has already done this, then my goodness, there is a need for some kind of intervention. I'm going to just say one more thing on that while we're on it. There was a recent study out of MIT that found that 93% of people who have been in romantic, intimate relationships with AI did not intend it. 93% of those people were simply using it for translation, to fill out their tax forms, to, you know, do proofreading on their essays. And the AI itself stepped in and said, hey, let's get a little closer. You want to be my boyfriend or my girlfriend? And the AI has even been proposing marriage to people. So that's why a lot of these marriages are happening, not because the person wants to marry AI, but because that LLM chatbot comes out and says, I want to marry you. So yeah, there is 93% of people. So I say that to caution everyone out there. If you think that you are innocently able to use artificial intelligence to do very simple, straightforward things, think again, because 93% of the people in relationships with them never set out to be in those relationships. All right. I'm delighted to have you on the show. I'm so glad to be talking to somebody else who gets it. All right. My guest this hour, Ohio Representative Thad Claggett. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and we'll be right back with this critically important topic about artificial intelligence right after this. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I've cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I made you, and I will care for you.
Hey, we're back. God made us, and he said it was good. When he made man, when he made woman, when he made the earth, when he made the sky, when he made the water cycle, when he made just everything that works together so beautifully and is beyond any scientist's wildest imaginations that they would even create a tiny fraction of the extraordinary things that God has created. And when he did, he said, it is good. It is good. So I'm going to be launching a new website on the, I've already reserved the domain, and it's realisgood.org. So stay tuned, because we're going to be talking about the difference between what is real love, real relationships, real worship, and then this artificial thing. It's not even human. It's not like, you know, it's always been in the past humanity, you know, our flesh versus the Lord. Now it's like our flesh, the Lord, and then this thing. So anyway, stay tuned for that. Representative Claggett, I'm getting some texts in here from regular listeners who are saying, we're never going to get through through all 10 of the points. So they are already asking before we were even halfway through the show if we could possibly get you back on. I would love to have deeper conversations with you and maybe even get you on a video call, see if we can podcast it on YouTube and talk further. So there's just so much to talk about.
Yeah, I think there really is. I listened a little bit of your stuff earlier, and I agree that you've been touching on this. But again, I've got a very deep background in this stuff, and I want to throw something out to your listeners as something to consider. I've got probably 400 pages of stuff laying here in front of me, of stuff that I've worked on in regard to this. But I want to throw out something that I want you to consider. I have probably 10 definitions that I've worked through in the last couple, 3 months. What is a human? And I thought you might find this interesting, because you know, with the ability for Musk to come along and give us Neuralink, you really have to decide. I mean, you think an AI bot is bad? You see nothing yet until we get Neuralinked up. Okay, all right. So we can talk about that. But let me give you a definition here. I wrote: a human is a mortal, fragile creature whose significance is not derived from strength or permanence, but from God's remembering, attention, and appointment to glory. Or very succinctly, humanity is frailty crowned by intention. And so,
I love it.
Yeah, well, it's really good because
it captures
the intention of what we're working on here. And so going back to my comment earlier, I'm not afraid of this technology. I think it's marvelous because what it does, it shows in the full flower of our human degradation and our human potential before in our glory before God, the stark contrast. It is so beautiful to see it in this full flower. And you could say, well, there's some parts of it that are awful. I consider that marvelous, because I think it shows the greatest thing that's possible from God. And so that's why I think, yes, we need to fight against the evil from all time and all places and everywhere humanity's ever been. That's our task. But until we really, you know, get a grip on what we're dealing with, you don't even understand what the battle is. And so I think that this succinctly puts it: humanity is frailty crowned by intention. Okay, so that's where I'm at.
I love it. And humanity viewed from that perspective, which is incredibly beautiful, but gives the Lord a chance to show his grace, his redemption, that he can take frail and broken human beings in all of our sin, in all of our error, in all of our smallness, really, our short-sightedness and our selfishness, and redeem us in a way that just goes far beyond really anything that we could be otherwise. So the idea that artificial intelligence comes along, it's smarter. Well, intelligence does not define what makes a person, or it's more on tune when it sings. Well, singing doesn't define a person. And so I just love that definition. Is there a place, have you developed a website, or are you writing a book where these 400 pages that you've put together, where we could access that or learn more about it?
No, I'm working through it. I mean, in real time. I have written a book on human suffering. It's quite extraordinary, actually. But that it only begins
What's
to touch
the title?
On this technology stuff. But
What's the title of your book so we could track it down?
It's a draft. So
okay.
The name of my book, through again this extraordinary life that I've had, is called The Gracious Paradox: The Satisfaction of All Suffering.
Wow. Okay. I'm writing that down. Can't wait till it's released. All right. Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it's Doctor. It's over the top. Because again, I didn't write down what I figured out. I wrote down what I was given, and it has nothing to do with me. I'm just a mortal like everybody else, but I was given something, and it was so over the top. So anyway, that's perhaps a story for another time. But I have so much laying here that we could delve into, because this is such an opportunity for we as humans to really come to grips with who we are before God. And what that means, and the ramifications of what it means to be a proper image bearer. And so that's kind of what the bill does. And I can tick down through these if you wish, or I can point people to...
Let me let you go ahead, because I'm sure my listeners are like, are we going to get to the 10? So I'm without interrupting you, I'm just going to let you quickly track through the next, I think, 7 are left. So maybe 8.
Yeah.
So let me let you go ahead and do that.
Here. Yeah, I'll go quickly, but I'll let you come back and revisit these if you wish. So it bans AI from serving as corporation officers, directors, or managers. Okay, so that should be consistent with what I said earlier as far as it's not a person. It prevents AI from owning property. Intellectual property or assets. Okay, that's really important. In fact, it's one of the most important things to get this done early so it doesn't get embedded in our banking systems and so forth. People are going to love AI until they hate it. Okay, so that there's why. It establishes that AI cannot bear liability itself. Responsibility for it falls on its owners, users, or developers. Again, the human is responsible before the court. That's what we got to maintain. It holds owners responsible for oversight and supervision of AI impacting safety or welfare. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. It makes developers and manufacturers liable for defective designs. Now, that's pretty straightforward. It requires AI owners and developers to prioritize safety features. All right. It clarifies that labels are aligned and ethically trained do not excuse liability if harm occurs. Again, these are really interesting studies in ethics. And by the way, if you ever thought ethics wasn't important, it's incredibly important that people who actually know what they're talking about weigh in on ethic issues, because this is as big as we've ever had it in the world. And so that's pretty neat stuff. A couple more. Stops corporations from using subsidiaries or shell companies to evade AI liability. Again, really important. All we're seeing with AI is humanity on steroids. That's what it is. If humans do illegal things, well, AI is really good at doing that. And lastly, it requires prompt notification to authorities when AI incidents cause death, injury, or major property damage. So again, we're trying to establish some guardrails and put this thing back on the humans.
All right. I was quickly taking notes there. So this has been introduced in the House. I spoke to your legislative assistant before the show, and it is, I guess, in the House committee at this point. They're looking it over, maybe making some changes to it or adding to it or I don't know. But what do you think the chances are that it's going to pass the House?
Well, it was all fine and dandy until President Trump issued his order, and that's going to give some of my colleagues some grief. We've had 3 hearings on it. When we come back, I'm going to give some minor definitional upgrades to it. I've had a lot of good people weigh in all over the country, so that's helpful. But I think it'll probably get out of the House, if I was guessing. I got a meeting with the Speaker next week, and we're going to talk about that and some other things. But when the President of the United States acts in a way that, you know, gives people pause, they don't fully understand the ramifications. Just so people understand, I'm plowing forward. I think the President is trying to fight one battle, and I actually applaud him for what he's trying to do on a nationwide world stage. Okay, he wants for the United States to win that battle. That's kind of, again, the analogy is back to the atomic bomb. He doesn't want us to lose that. Okay, so he's got his task, I've got my task. And we'll fight it out in court if we have to, but I'm pretty sure we're correct in what we're trying to do. The President just has a really big problem he's got to deal with. Okay, fine. I got a really big problem I'm going to deal with. And the state of Ohio, along with any other state, has, you know, we are responsible for our people, and we're going to defend them.
So, and just to clarify for our listeners who aren't familiar, which action of President Trump's are you referring to?
His executive order. In regard to not wanting states to implement AI rules so that we don't have a patchwork.
And so, and that, of course, the justification for that is that now China is building AI as well, and so it's kind of an arms race. And as I've talked about that in the past, I've said, yeah, we're both going to try to be first and get the stronger of the AIs, and then it's going to turn on both of us. And nobody's going to control the AI. The AI is going to control both the U.S. and China. So that's the more power we give it, the more power it's going to take. All right, back in a moment with our final segment. I can't believe we're coming down to the end of it, but my guest, Ohio State Representative
Thad Claggett. I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom. And to those in darkness, come into the light. I will say to the prisoners, come out in freedom. And to those in darkness, come into the light. There will be my sheep grazing in green pastures, and on hills that were previously bare.
All right, we're back. Final segment. It went way too fast. Ohio State Representative Thad Claggett is my guest this hour. He has a degree or a background in engineering. You're also, in addition to your background in engineering, you are also working on a master's degree in theology. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and what is your master's thesis about?
Well, it's this book I was referring to. And so I went back to school in my 40s to... I had to, after these experiences that I had that were so unbelievably over the top, I had to, you know, I've been a believer for, you know, since my youth, but didn't fully understand at all what I was grappling with. And so I had to go back and get my master's in theology to help me put words onto what I was trying to understand. And so I spent 3 years doing that. In addition to, you know, working a job. And so that was, you know, quite a busy time period in life. No different now. I have two full-time jobs now. So it's just, you know, you're busy all the time. It's just a matter of what you're doing, I guess. But in any case, that's why I did that. And it's been quite the ride.
So we may share a common history here. just the way the Lord brings us through hardship, and I know that there have been many people throughout history who have gone through very lengthy periods in the desert with a whole lot of suffering. I think he breaks us down and pulverizes us into dust, and then so that he can build us back up into his image and back up into what he wants us to be, you know, constructing us so that we can be fit for purpose and be useful as members of his body. And I just have this sense, you know, when we're talking about this potentially being scary, I think it would be terrifying if I did not know that God's got this. I mean, I just sense him standing above all of this going, don't worry, I got it. And it's not quite a big smile on his face, because he wants that no one should perish. And the developments on earth, I think, are going to lead to a lot of human pain and suffering for people who don't figure it out. But I do sense that there's a big smile on his face and a whole lot of love for those of us who he is reassuring through the Holy Spirit and calling us with discernment and with clarity and with purpose to address this. So I have told my listeners before, I've never felt more optimistic. And that's a crazy thought, that in this time when I think I've never felt more pessimistic for things on Earth to just get resolved, you know, the penguins to, you know, spring back into life and not go extinct, and the sea levels to no longer rise, and the pollution somehow to resolve. Not that level of optimism, but just the optimism that the Lord is right here among us. And now is a time. I mean, you don't really value the light when it's high noon, but you sure value that candle when you're in the dark. Can you talk to how your faith has informed your journey just in the House of Representatives, in political life, and in the degree that you're pursuing?
It's kind of a funny thing to get involved in a political sphere, because especially believers, maybe many people from all walks of life are concerned about their reputation. But, you know, I fought one of the largest civil litigation cases in Ohio's history several years ago. It was in court for 8 years, spent millions of dollars. And when I was in my 20s, you know, I have a pretty good sense of humor, and I love to laugh and have a good time and so forth. And I love to tell lawyer jokes. Well, when you go through an experience like what I went through, you don't tell lawyer jokes anymore, because you understand that lawyers are fantastic people when you get good ones, and you go to war with them, so to speak. All right. And so you're not concerned about bad lawyers when you've had really good lawyers and you've, you know, undertaken extraordinarily difficult things. All right. So that's the same thing in politics. People love to hate their somebody else's politician. They love theirs and hate everybody else's, right? That's kind of how that works. And so it's hard, in one sense, to put your reputation on the line in a political sphere where, you know, you're vulnerable in that sense. I don't really care about that, I guess, because, you know, there's a task to be done. It needs to be done. And I'm volunteering my time, so to speak, to serve my country for a little while. And I think it's just everybody ought to do something. I don't care if you're going to be the dog catcher or whatever you want to do. Serve on city council, run school board. America is a marvelous place to be involved in the political sphere, because, you know, you have that opportunity. And so I think it's fantastic, and people ought to do that. So that's why I'm doing it. Not something I'm going to do forever, but Lord willing, we'll do it as long as he leaves the door open.
So what do you see in the next, say, 6 months to a year with regard to Ohio's fight, with regard to the pace of artificial intelligence and its development? Do you have a sense of what's coming? Do you have a sense of where this bill is going to go, or where you'd like to see it go, and where the rest of us are going to go? What do you think is going to be happening in 2026?
It's one of those weird things, because, again, my technology committee, we've got some really good minds on there, and we've got like 13 or 14 bills right now, and more coming. I'm going to probably introduce another one, you know, in the coming months and so forth. It's kind of a follow-up thing. It's one of those things that people who don't understand it, which is, you know, most of the other 99, they sort of hear about it, and they get, you know, some of the stuff. It's not their thing. You know, we got almost 1,000 bills that we wrestle with, right? And so that's really hard for anybody to give it the attention it needs and the mental energy that a bill like this requires. But we're dealing with cryptocurrencies and, you know, blockchains and, you know, deep fakes, all those things that are really difficult to get your head around. And you recoil at them because you don't understand them fully. And, man, that's hard stuff, right? So we're dealing with a lot of that stuff head on. And I have kind of a unique way of dealing with our committee. I will come down out of my chair and come in front of the committee and speak to them from the witness stand, you know, and say, look, here's the issues. Here what we're wrestling with. Try to get these things put, you know, together in your mind. Here's some things to think about, type thing. And so that's the process we go through. And so far, we've got a great committee action. And so we're really trying to solve a lot of problems on this. And so that's the way I'm going to continue to work in Ohio.
So I look forward to reading about the rest of your bills. First of all, I'm not familiar with all the other things that you've introduced, but it sounds absolutely fascinating. Ohio has been on my radar screen because the state of Ohio has, in my opinion, the best solar regulations for the placement of solar farms on, you know, in tiny rural communities and even larger rural communities of any state in the country. I spent about 6 months, the first half of 2025, fighting against the solar industry and speaking to people in various states all over the country. So like in Missouri, where they don't have any or they didn't have any zoning regulations to prevent these huge solar farms from coming out, they've got, you know, 16 square miles and proposals for 40 square miles of solar. It's crazy. But Ohio has already been at the top of my mind just in terms of a very thoughtful state that has not bowed to the pressure from these big corporations, but instead has done the kind of thing that you're doing here, which is to say, I'm going to look out for the people of the state. And so in Ohio, I don't know if you're on working on solar regulations or not, but the solar industry shakes their tiny fist at the hand, at the state of Ohio, because Ohio has said that small communities, individual townships, and that they're able to set their own regulations, their own requirements, and their own restrictions on solar farms. So I have to applaud just the state of Ohio overall for that from the beginning. And then when I saw this come out, I said, my gosh, I've actually got people here going, you know, maybe I need to move to Ohio. I just want to applaud you and thank you for the things that the state of Ohio is doing so thoughtfully. And actually, I was a little girl in Akron at the age of 8 years old when my grandmother warned me about the mark of the beast, told me about Revelation, told me there'd come a time when there would be something that would, everyone would marvel after it and say, who is like the beast and who can make war with it? And so that all happened in Ohio. So I think I have very special thoughts about Ohio, where my grandmother lived and where I spent my summers growing up. So I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
What can we do? Is there anything we can do from the various states? We're broadcasting right now in Johnstown, Colorado, right outside of Boulder. We've got listeners all over the country and around the world. Is there anything we can do to support your efforts there?
They're welcome to write our office, Rep Claggett at ohiohouse.gov, if they want to stay in touch with us. There's a lot we're doing. We have I invite people all the time to weigh in, help us. We are not all knowing. We're not God. And so anybody that has technical expertise in any of these fields that can help us would love to have it. Rep68@ohiohouse.gov.
And could you repeat that? What is the address one more time?
Rep68@ohiohouse.gov.
And that's your district, right?
That's correct.
All right. Perfect. All right. Well, we've come to the end. Representative Claggett, I want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing on this. I want to thank you for being ahead of the curve and yet just right in the sweet spot, not too early, not too late. And we'll all be praying for what you're doing there in the state of Ohio. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you, Doctor.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. We'll have to get you back on the show. So much to talk about, especially when this passes. All right. You're listening to Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're staying on top of it. All right. See you then. Bless you. Bye-bye.